Let us all rise for the honoring of the reading of God's Word tonight. Tonight's passage comes to us from Luke chapter 11, verses 1 through 2. Luke chapter 11, verses 1 through 2. It happened that while Jesus was praying in a certain place, after he had finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray, just as John also taught his disciples." And he said to them, "When you pray, say, 'Father, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come.'" You may be seated. One of my most vivid childhood memories occurred when I was about 11 or 12. And I decided to run for president of my national junior beta club in middle school. As many of you know, I am a third-generation pastor. Both my grandfather and my father were pastors. And my father, after ministering in South Korea for some time, felt a call from the Lord to come to New York City to plant a multi-ethnic church in an impoverished neighborhood in New York City. So, in 1981, we grew some roots in Bushwick, Brooklyn, at the height of the crack epidemic. And my dad ministered in a very tough community. We learned a lot of lessons. We learned how to love, to be patient. And it really did stretch us. And God's hand was always with us. I'll never forget it. And I'm always thankful for it. Needless to say, we went to a public school within the inner city in Brooklyn, New York. And we didn't have much money growing up. My mom was a nurse's aide, and then she became an LPN, before finally becoming an RN in the 90s. Dad, well, he pastored, and so he didn't have much money. So you could imagine, eating out was a special treat. Burger King and McDonald's was a special treat. I remember many nights we would order fried rice from the local Chinese restaurant. My dad would divide it between the four of us, because my mom would be at work. I had two younger brothers. And so we would take some of the fried rice, mix it with some white rice, put some soy sauce, and that would be our dinner. We had many nights like that. Didn't have much money growing up. But on the night before my presidential speech for the Beta Club, Dad, knowing it was a special day, took the entire family out, and he said, "Son, pick anything on the menu." So I was thrilled. That night, I picked a chicken sandwich, my favorite. And when I finished that chicken sandwich, my dad said to me, "Son, why don't you do this? Pick one more. Take it to school tomorrow so that before your big speech, you could have something to eat. I know it's a big day. I want you to be well fed." I was stoked. So the next day, I ate my chicken sandwich, great meal. Gave my speech. I thought I gave a great speech until right after the young man who was running for president also with me came up and gave his speech. And I mean, this man was a charismatic orator. He blew me out of the water. Next day, the results came in. I lost by a landslide. I mean, huge. I lost big. My dad was excited. He was anticipating the returns from the election. And I came home and told him that I lost. Never forget what he told me that day. He said, "Son, it's better to have tried and failed than have never tried at all." Two things I learned that day. Number one, Father's love is not shown through expensive things. Sometimes it's shown through a chicken sandwich. No, Dad didn't have much money. And with that one chicken sandwich, it was his way of showing me that he loved me. Wasn't a man of many words. All he said through a chicken sandwich was, "Son, I love you." Second thing I learned that day, persevering through trial. You see, that lesson, it is better to try and fail than to have never tried at all, was a lesson that I needed to learn. It was a difficult ordeal, but I need to learn that lesson because the rest of my life, I would have many opportunities that if I never learned that lesson, I would have never tried. But because I learned that lesson, My father set me up for success. Yes, I failed many times, but I also succeeded many times. All because my father taught me an invaluable lesson. And that's what fathers do. Fathers push and challenge their children, but also protect and guide them. Give them lessons that are invaluable. And I'll never forget that lesson from my father that day. Well, today, we see in Scripture a captivating passage that, quite frankly, many of us just run through. We rush through this text because it contains the most famous prayer in the entire Bible. You all know this prayer. It's the Lord's Prayer. And verse 1 starts off with the gospel writer informing us that Jesus was praying. And we know about Jesus' prayer life because the Bible informs us of it. Gospel writers say that sometimes he spent the entire night alone with God in prayer. Evidently, his disciples, after watching him one day, when he finished, the text says that one of them came up to him and said, "Lord, teach us to pray." It's as if this man was thinking to himself, "Man, I pray, but I see a connection that you have with God in prayer that I simply don't have. So Jesus, I love you, I believe in you, and I follow you, but my prayer life is anemic. Teach me to pray." And I think we've all been there. We've all been there. I've been there. And Jesus responds by giving them the model prayer, the outline, if you will, for all Christian prayer. It's not that we are to simply pray these words, but we could fill in the outline. But this is the outline. And at the very first line of the prayer, Jesus says, "Father, hallowed be your name." The prayer, therefore, starts off by God taking our gaze off of ourselves and our problems and putting it on Himself, His glory, His love, His power, and His kingdom. Problems evaporate when we focus in on God. The petition that asks for the hallowing of God's name is the request that God's name would be consecrated, set apart, and honored. It is the recognition that God is completely holy, and therefore He ought to be revered with the highest respect. And this is the right mentality and heart we ought to have when we come to God in prayer. But before we get there, notice today's text. It starts off with the word Father. Did you notice that? This is amazing. Allow this to sink in for a moment. Allow it to guide your prayer life. You have access to the Creator of the universe because you are His child. The moment that you believed in the gospel of Jesus Christ, God became your Father and He gave you full access to Himself. The veil is certainly now torn. In fact, He actually now delights and looks forward to spending time with you each day in intimate communication. The moment you believed in the gospel, God became your Father. What a magnificent thought. Wow. Now, what is the gospel? I want you to listen carefully. 4 points. Number one. There is a God who loves you, but He's also infinitely holy, righteous, and just. Number two, all human beings are sinners. We've all lied. We've all dishonored our parents. We've all sinned against God, and sins against an infinitely holy God deserve infinite punishment in hell. Number three, the good news, however, is that God loved you so much that He sent His Son, who was fully God and fully man, Jesus Christ. He lived a sinless life, and then He died on the cross for your sins. 3 days later, He historically, not mythically, rose again from the dead. Then number four, if you repent of your sins and turn and put your faith in Jesus Christ as your Lord, God, and Savior, you will have eternal life, and God, at that moment, becomes your Father. This Lord's Prayer at that moment becomes your prayer, your privilege. I know many of us have heard studies by now, that show just how critical it is for children to spend time with their human fathers. A few years ago, a British paper put out an article that was entitled "How Absence of a Loving Father Can Wreck a Child's Life." New study shows relationship with both parents is crucial. And in the article, the reporter noted, quote, "A father's love is as important to a child's emotional development as a mother's. A large-scale study has confirmed. Examine the cases of more than 10,000 sons and daughters revealed how a cold or distant father can damage a child's life sometimes for decades to come. The review of 36 studies from around the world concluded that his love is at least as important to youngsters as that of mothers," end quote. Now, many of us inherently know this. We don't need studies, but the studies verify it. Now, if a human father's relationship is that vital to our well-being and development, you know where I'm going with this. Just how vital do you think your relationship with your Heavenly Father is to your well-being and your development? I urge you to make it a priority to pray each day. It is so vital. It will literally change your life. This is not mere sentimentalism that Jesus instructs us. In the most famous prayer on earth, he instructs us to start off by calling God not by Jehovah, Yahweh, or Elohim, but simply by Father. And all the affection, authority, protection, love, guidance, and care of a Supreme Father are available to you in faith as you spend time with your Heavenly Father in prayer. What a privilege that is for you. There's no doubt that fathers are important. This is because human fatherhood is merely a dim mirror of God the Father's fatherhood. Some of us, we're blessed to have good fathers. Others, many out there, grew up without a father, or sometimes have had bad fathers. Our current president, Barack Obama, grew up without a father. President Obama's father, also named Barack Obama himself, left him at the age of 2. He then again met him at the age of 10. But after that meeting, he never saw him again for the rest of his life. But even that brief meeting left an indelible mark on the younger Obama's life. His father left him a basketball at that visit, and Obama would grow up to be passionate about the game of basketball. His father's life, however, was a tragedy. He went through several marriages, turned to alcohol, and eventually died in a car accident in 1982. And you know what Obama says? In a Washington Post article, in 2007, it's written, "Every man is either trying to make up for his father's mistakes or to live up to his expectations," says Barack Obama. Michelle Obama goes on to say in that article, "At some level you wonder all the time, who would I be if I had my father in my life? Would I be a better person?" And then in his book, in 2006, The Audacity of Hope, he writes, "Of all the areas of my life, it is my capacities as a father and a husband that I entertain the most doubt," end quote. You see, all of us worry and contemplate about fatherhood. Today's passage, however, makes a powerful declaration. It doesn't matter how accomplished you are. For those who simply cling to Christ with a childlike faith, the God of this universe loves us and is pleased with us. He promises to walk through every valley and difficulty with us. And in today's passage, he invites us to always come to him and call him Father when we pray. My, oh my, what a mighty privilege that is. Let's pray.